Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply. Just a
rebel to the world. Chris Hernan joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Kick Push by Lupe Fiasco, a song about the pleasures of skateboarding, which I referenced in my column last night from the Toby Field Memphis Skate Park, where there was a vigil for Tyree Nichols, who was a skateboarder, among other things.
So, it's up at the Daily Memphian. I've tweeted it out. I would urge people to read it. Lovely piece about that sad vigil. For those who haven't read it yet or whatever, what was the scene?
It was, you know, the vigil was held at the skate park there in Midtown, Toby Skate Park, because one of Tyree Nichols' passions was for skateboarding. And his mother and stepfather were there and some other people with them, you know. And they spoke, and a couple of ministers spoke, and a couple of activists spoke, one of whom was also part of the skateboarding community. And there were, I'm bad at crowds. It was, 100, 200 people or so there. It was an interesting scene in that they had, you know, I showed up about half an hour early, and that there was white paper bags all around the apparatus of all the different skate stuff with candles inside them. So you had these glowing bags, and then people were there skating, you know, and you had like sort of the atmosphere of the skating, right, and sort of the sounds of that. Having to dodge some TV cameras they're probably not used to. But it was, you know, it was a vigil. It was a somber but, you know, pointed night, and I tried my best to capture it.
So, do you have any thoughts about, like, I saw Wes Lowery was just tweeting that this is something icky about this countdown to the release of this video.
I saw that tweet, and yeah. I didn't know if he was specifically referencing the decision of when to release it or the way the national media is treating it. And that I have not engaged. I've not watched cable news or any of that. So I can only imagine. In fact, I've got a couple of texts from friends. I'm sort of getting off your track. To your point, I think the people, again, I don't know whether he's referencing the decision of when to release it or the way the media has handled it. As far as the former, I don't know what the right answer is. And I think the people, in fact, I know. The people involved in that decision are just trying to do their best and trying to figure it out, and they don't know what the right thing is. They're not absolutely sure what the right thing is.
Do you have any sense as to why then? Have you heard why 6 o'clock on a Friday? Like,
no, I think the assumptions you make about trying to have the least amount of inflammatory impact, whether that's right or wrong, or whether that's actually the decision that most can – I mean, I don't know. I think people are just trying to do their best. So I don't know what the right answer is. Has it created, you know, this sort of countdown aspect within national media? I suspect it has. I got a couple texts this morning from friends who used to live in Memphis and now live in other cities, both of which were, is Memphis really like on the verge of exploding like the national media makes it seem? And my answer was, I don't think so. No, I hope not. But also I don't think so. I think I do worry that there's, you know, an almost eagerness, an anticipation bordering on eagerness for something among media who want something to cover.
It feels like watching a car race, hoping for the crash.
Yes, and then in terms of city officials, the sort of worry about, like, natural worry and preparation about. I worry that those two different forces have the risk creating something that's
not there,
and that's my concern.
It's also possible that, who knows, but I mean, that by all accounts, I have never heard of a video that has gotten this much pre-release. It's awful. Like, you know, people hide videos, or they try to downplay videos, or they whatever else. This video has gotten so much. Every, I guess appropriately, has said it's heinous, it's awful, it's it's striking how this is. It's sort of unprecedented.
Yeah, I do worry that all this is sort of like, you know, setting up you to want, to feel like you need to watch something or want to watch something that maybe you don't need to watch. Maybe you do. That's up to you. I'm not personally eager to watch it. The fact that it's not just, I feel like even from a journalistic standpoint, I don't feel the need to watch it, because it's not just, I'm not just hearing from city officials and police people about it. I'm hearing from the lawyer of the family about it. And so, like, you know, it's not it's not a one-sided description of what this is about, right? And so, like to me, that due process has sort of happened. And I'm not saying, like, no one should watch it, but I don't feel the need to, and I'm not anticipating, like, you know.
Is it clear to you that it should be public?
Probably. Probably, yes. I mean, I haven't really thought that through.
I just think as a
matter
of principle,
yes,
it should be public and you don't have to watch it.
Yes.
But it should shouldn't be hidden, the other way to put it.
I do think that. And I, this is the one thing in the column where I got out of the moment and to step back just a little bit. However you want to credit it, and there's multiple explanations, and I think they're all relevant. However you want to credit the response so far, the response so far has been what the response should be. It seems to me, assuming that it is what it is, the response has been what it should be in terms of the swiftness. You know, this is not the usual process in terms of how swiftly – you know, there were dismissals. There was indictments. I think, you know, whether you want to credit the people for, or say they've been backed into it, or whatever, however you want to think about it, the reaction of, you know, I think the police chief, in particular the DA, I think has been strong, and the other apparatus around them in terms of, you know, from local to federal, I think has been good. And, you know, if justice is a predicate for peace, we're off to a good start on the justice front, which is the whole point anyway.
Right. I'll read that section. If justice is a necessary predicate for peace, perhaps this has been a good start with the dismissal and then indictment of the five officers and the strong suggestion that more is needed and more is coming. Perhaps it's the heightened response of city leaders spurred and spooked by the aftermath of George Floyd. Perhaps it's the consequence of new leadership at the Memphis Police Department and especially the Shelby County District Attorney's Office. Perhaps it's just a signal that this incident is too stark to allow anything else. However you credit the sharp, swift action of recent days, the response so far has been what most would want in a moment that no one does. As soon as they were fired, there's also cynicism about what motivates it, and if these were five white officers, would they be like?
I don't want to discredit that, but I think the other things that that was not in my head when I wrote that, and I left that out. I think the three factors I cited to me are the prominent factors. It is that this is a different world after what happened with George Floyd, where there's a heightened sensitivity. I don't think just in Memphis, but in other places
worldwide,
around
the country, nationwide.
I think it really, not to get political, but I think it really, we just had a DA race. And that's something I think the outside world looking into this doesn't understand.
Right.
We just had an election with a more traditional, quote unquote, law and order DA versus a progressive DA, and the city elected the progressive DA. And now that person is the person who is dealing with this. And I think that is extremely relevant to what has been happening. And then the other thing is just that if it is as bad as everyone says, and I assume it is, there's the sense of, like, you know, I mean, we've got a mayor and people have their different opinions about him. And I know the mayor, you know, the mayor, I like the mayor. I don't, this is not an endorsement or anything, but, like, you know, his reputation has been, he wants more policing in the city, right? Even he has been quick to say, you know, on this one, right? You know, to say that this is not okay. These guys got to go, basically. And so I'm sort of rambling, but what I wrote is what I wrote. Yes. And you know, I stand by what I wrote.
It's, it is a particularly complicated time when you step back and, you know, reporting of Mark Paraskia and others at the Daily Memphian pointed out that these five police officers
right.
were all part of this Scorpion unit that was literally conjured up in 2021 to deal with the crime issues that are otherwise bedeviling us. It makes it all to me seem, oh my God. So this was their answer. By the way, under this new police chief, this was the answer.
Right.
And now here we are.
Well, this is an issue we're definitely not going to solve on this radio show, but we have a very complicated issue around policing in that there are real issues in terms of training, in terms of militarization, in terms of
recruitment.
Clearly, clearly very serious issues. We also have a very serious crime problem in the city. And like, you know, I sometimes feel like there's some people who focus on the one, some people focus on the other, and we gotta figure out a way to bring it both together, you know? Yeah.
I think that's right. I was really struck by the quote from his mom because it was just beautiful. Yeah. And I've seen our friend over at Mediaverse said, you know, it shouldn't be on her. She shouldn't have to, in the midst of her grief.
Of course not. But she can say whatever she wants.
We're gonna
publish. Yes, exactly.
And her words were, it's just, I don't speak very well in front of a crowd, she says. It seems to me like she handled it pretty.
Yeah.
I don't speak very well in front of a crowd. I just want to say this. When that tape comes out tomorrow, it's going to be horrific. I didn't see it, but from what I hear, it's going to be horrific. But I want each and every one of you to protest in peace. I don't want us burning up our city, tearing up our streets, because that's not what my son stood for. And if you guys are here, and for me and Tyree, then you will protest peacefully. So I've been just struck by the grace of everybody seemingly on that. You're right. Steve Mulroy, I think, has done it's why I don't think people have been angry that the tape wasn't out earlier, because there was, I think people were convinced that it would happen.
By the process has been what the process should be.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't think, and then the grace on the part of the family and the lawyer and everything else has been remarkable. So you can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. It was beautifully wrought at a time when you get the sense that a lot of national media is coming in here to see if Memphis will rip itself up. I thought Chris captured last night's scene beautifully. All right. Onward to the Memphis Grizzlies, Minnesota tonight.
Yep.
How's Minnesota?
You know, for all the drama, they just stay playing 500 basketball. I mean, my friend Dane Moore, who I met during the playoff series last year, does a fantastic Minnesota podcast. He had some tweet that was like, after 10 games, 5-5. After 20 games, 10-10. After, you know, just keep going, right? For all the drama, they just stay
playing. Players come and go.
They stay being mediocre. You know, they've been okay lately. Anthony Edwards is finally, you know, I think he did the classic, I showed up out of shape. And he's played himself into shape like Luka did last year, and now he looks as awesome as sort of we thought he was going to be, you know? So he's been great. Slow-mo has been a revelation for them. They got lots of other issues, but the drama seems to have tamped down a little bit. They are not a very reliable team. Like I follow all these guys on Twitter now, so I'll just see on game nights, it'll be like, oh, this is going great, and then it'll be the fourth quarter, like, yep, here we go again. It'll be that kind of thing. So, you know, that's a mediocre team. But the Grizzlies are on the fifth game of a road trip, and apparently the Grizzlies are favored. Another thing I learned from just following Minnesota people on Twitter, apparently the Grizzlies are favored without Steven Adams at the end of a road trip. I don't know if they should be the way they've been playing, but we'll see. Sounds like a toss-up game to me.
We focus on the top of the West, and that's a luxury. It's nice to be able to focus on the top of the West. If you look at
the gap four through 13
is two and a half games. It goes New Orleans, the Clippers, Dallas, Phoenix, Minnesota, Golden State, Utah, Oklahoma City, and Portland and Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Really, all the way down.
4 through 13. And when you talk about 4 through 13, you have so many inflection points. You got the 4 seed gets you home court advantage in the first round. The 6 seed gets you out of the play-in. And then you know, the 10 gets you in the play-in versus the lottery. And, like, let's hope, like, they navigate the Steven Adams thing well enough that we can enjoy that from a safe remove.
From up here, looking down. But right now you're looking down from...
It's chaos.
It's Do you have any conviction about...
It's hard to have conviction. I mean, I want to have conviction about the Warriors, but then, like, you know, whenever they play the Grizzlies, they look good.
They look great.
But then otherwise, like, they're 4-6 in their last 10 somehow. I keep waiting for them to get it together. That is still the team I fear most in the playoffs among all those teams. But, like, they got to start actually winning games that other than, like, when they play Memphis, you know? The Clippers look good now, but, like, who knows, right?
Thoughts on the Lakers now that they, you know, they made a deal.
The Rui Hachimura is going to turn everything around.
He's going to turn everything around.
I mean, that team stinks, but there's no reason they can't be in the play-in.
Anthony Davis is back, you know.
The fact that they are like two or three games out of the four seed, I mean, that is heavy. And they don't have their draft pick.
And they don't have their draft pick.
You know, and they did the Hachimura deal without giving up any of their first-round picks or whatever. And so I wouldn't surprise me if they try to do one more thing.
The team, I just don't believe that the Golden State is going to be, I keep thinking, you know, could the Grizzlies get Golden State in the first round? They're not going to get, Golden State's going to be better than that. Golden State is going to get up to at least sixth.
I predicted last week they're going to get up to third, and they haven't made much progress on that front, but it's still very possible.
New Orleans is in trouble.
Yeah, they'll get Zion back.
But they're going to have Zion back. Speaking of, All-Star stuff is out. And do you like the make the picks directly before tip, by the way, in the All-Star game? Yeah, LeBron and Giannis are the captains, and they will be making their picks.
Go ahead. My feeling about that is, like, go hard or go home. And so I don't like – I like it the way – I would go back just the way it used to be. Give me East versus West.
Right.
To me, it's all too confusing. I don't like it.
Right.
But if you're going to do it, like, go all the way with it and go ahead and do it like this, right? Like, this is better.
Is someone literally going to be the last pick now?
Yeah, but so to me, I would rather it just be the old way, but this is better than the half measure of what it was where we're trying to have fun with this, but we're not really going all the way to have fun with it. So
so the starters have been announced. It's LeBron.
Yep.
Steph, Luka, Jokic, and Zion. That's the one injustice, although you can argue that...
There's no obvious person. Maybe Sabonis would be the best pick there, given how good...
Or Markkanen.
Yeah, I would say the fact that Sacramento's third and Utah's like, you know, I would probably say Sabonis would be the best choice, but you could argue four or five different people in that spot, and so I'm not that.
And you could argue he'll make it as a reserve. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, right, will make it as a reserve, but you could argue he should have been one of the starters.
You could argue him. You could argue Ja, Grizzly's second.
Ja was third, by the way, and this is assembled by half fan vote and then 25% media and 25% players. Ja was third in every single one of those categories, picked Ja to be third, was not a starter in any. Over on the East, it's Giannis, KD, Kyrie, Tatum, and Mitchell. Embiid is the one who's the obvious, but you're going to have whatever. It's going to be...
You got four slam dunks for three spots in the front court of the East, so whatever. I would have gone Tyrese Halliburton over Kyrie Irving myself, although Halliburton's hurt right now. On principle, I would not have been voting for Kyrie Irving.
Someone voted for Chet Holmgren, the players. Did you see that? Players are having fun with that.
Yep.
Des questionable. Normally questionable means play, right?
Typically, yeah.
Typically means play. Is this game? No, there's nothing must about it. It would be nice to see them right themselves.
We're not in the era of must here at this point in the season.
Exactly.
And so now
it'd be nice, but it sure would be nice.
It sure would be nice. I think that is an accurate assessment.
I think we're in the sure would be nice era. Read Chris's piece at the Daily Memphian on the Vigil last night. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.